Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Thursday morning, the 16th day of June, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin, and thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico. Streaming everywhere else on the planet from our website, ksje.com. And we also welcome our viewers who are watching this community-supported visual radio station. The video is streaming out live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you are with us this morning, everybody, because coming up in the next few moments, my guests from San Juan County, our focus today are senior centers in San Juan County. We'll be talking about the job that they do and much, much more coming up in the next few moments. So we hope you'll stay tuned for that. Right here on KSJE this morning. Next hour, Mick Hess will be here roving with the arts. Mick is featuring music from the composer that you see on your screen right there. That's Amy Beach, and she is going to be playing some of her music, I should say, for you. But she's quite the composer from the 19th century, and so you'll learn more about her coming up on Roving with the Arts today with Mick Hess, our weekday classical music program here on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to our Facebook and YouTube and Twitter accounts. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts and maybe discover a new program that you may have missed on the radio. Subscribe places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeart and Google Podcasts, Pandora, and much, much more. Check us out and discover something new. Outside our studios at the moment here at San Juan College, it is a sunny morning, 65 degrees so far. Going to be a hot one, though. We are expecting a high today of 97 this afternoon with plenty of sunshine. Maybe some increasing clouds overnight tonight with a low of 68 degrees. And then take a look at the next several days. We are very hopeful for maybe some monsoon moisture shaping up with some scattered showers in the area over the next several days. Certainly a good percentage chance for showers beginning tomorrow with a high of 90 on Friday and a low of 64, 80 for a high on Saturday with a chance of scattered showers and 80% chance storms on Saturday, 70% chance on Sunday with a high again near 80 degrees, partly sunny and 81 on Monday, more chances for rain on Tuesday with highs in the mid to lower 80s on into Wednesday, and partly cloudy skies overnight with lows in the 50s for the most part with that good chance of rain for several days. So hopefully we'll get a couple days of rain out of it. We would like to see that. My guests would like to see that too. We were talking about that earlier this morning, but let me introduce them for you this morning. Joining me from San Juan County, as I mentioned, to talk a little bit about the senior centers in San Juan County. Daniel Hill is here. He is the director for the Parks and Facilities Department in San Juan County. Good morning. Thank you for coming in. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us today.
You bet. Great to have you here. Also joining us is Michelle Murray. She is the San Juan County Senior Services Manager. Michelle, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Good
to see both of you here this morning to talk about the work that you're doing with the senior centers. And so there are two senior centers in San Juan County proper that we're talking about this morning. One, the Lower Valley Center in the Kirtland area, and the Blanco Senior Center out in the Blanco area, correct?
Correct.
Very, very good. And so, Daniel, give me a little bit of history, if you wouldn't mind, about how we came to have senior centers, because we haven't had them forever in this country, but we've had them for a long time.
Right. So our senior centers come from the 1965 Congress passed the Older Americans Act, In response to concern by policymakers about the lack of community social services for the older persons. The original legislation established authority for grants to states for community planning and social services, research and development projects, and personnel training in the field of aging. The New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department is our agency responsible within the state for the implementation of the Older Americans Act. And so that kind of brings us to our local senior centers,
right?
Where we have five. There's two located within the county that you previously talked about, Lower Valley and Blanco Senior Center. And then City of Farmington also has theirs. City of Aztec and the City of Bloomfield also operate their own senior centers.
Got you. And they all operate kind of based on this legislation that you're talking about, right? From the 60s.
That is correct. So it's one of our mandates to help. And it's not really a mandate that we have to. It's one of those things that the county wants to provide. And graciously, we're able to provide very well for our senior citizens.
Right, which is really important. And we were talking before we came on the air this morning that the reservation has their senior centers as well. But so basically, no matter where you live, whether it's in an incorporated city or in the county, you are served by a senior center and can get services from these centers.
That is correct. So anywhere you live, there's some agency, city, the Navajo Nation, or the county is there to provide those services for you.
Right. And then requirements, I mean, obviously there's got to be an age requirement. And then what other requirements are there for getting services from a senior center?
So you have to be 60 years old and you have to have an assessment done. The assessment consists of just kind of simple questions, health-wise, where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
If you want Meals on Wheels, we have to justify taking those meals to you versus you coming into one of the senior centers.
Gotcha.
Other than that, I don't believe any senior center has a waiting list right now. So both homebound meals and congregate meals are no wait lists right now.
Gotcha. And so 60 is the kind of the threshold, basically,
of the
age range for,
yes, sir,
for seniors.
If you're 60,
you're good.
Good.
Okay. There you go. I'm not there yet, but okay. Good to know. That's good to know. But you mentioned a couple of things, and I know the senior centers have been busy. I guess one of the main things that they provide are these meals for their seniors in their areas, whether they're coming to pick it up, as you mentioned, or maybe getting it delivered if they're homebound or can't get out or things along that line. Now, would you say those are the major kind of services that you provide, at least at the moment?
Yes, we provide those. And then we also do provide transportation to doctor's appointments, trips, like little trips, stuff like that. We're starting to open back up after COVID.
Right. And so that's all another big change.
Correct.
With the operation of the senior centers is coming out of COVID when things were really done remotely, I would assume, right? During the peak of COVID.
Right. Everything was done remotely for almost 2 years.
Right. And now things are opening back up. Seniors are coming back into the centers for meals when they feel comfortable doing so.
Yes. Seniors are welcome to come back into the meals. Both actually all five locations are back open for daily activities and daily meals.
Got you. And Michelle, part of your job too is to maybe plan trips or other programs for seniors, and that's also maybe increasing as folks get more comfortable getting together and gathering, and that's been something you've been working on as well?
Right. So we take trips throughout the year. Lower Valley and Blanco just recently reopened our transportation up. We do color runs in the fall. We do we go to the summer theater every year. We do a movie days. And each senior center kind of has their own different events that they do.
Sure, right.
Lower Valley and Blanco are the smallest of the five centers, so we don't do as much as the bigger ones, but we do, you know, a lot of stuff around here. We do a color run to Durango in the fall, which is usually a big thing for us.
Right. And so color, just meaning to see the colors, see the
see
leaves
the colors.
Changing, right, is
right.
what you're doing.
And
I imagine
seniors love it.
Yeah. Well, and for individuals that maybe don't get out, maybe they don't have a car, or they don't like driving long distances or whatever, that's probably is a special trip for them.
It is. It is. They really enjoy it and they look forward to it every year. We used to go up to Hatch and do a chili run, and we haven't done that since we lost our Mary Jane out in Blanco. She was the director. She was killed in a car accident. We haven't done that since, but they're starting to ask me for it. So that may be something we're going to due soon.
Okay, very, very good. And Daniel, the county certainly is a big help in all of this to make all this happen, correct, with transportation and things along that line?
It is. The county is very gracious in providing lots of employees, services, the budget to finance all that, the vehicles for transportation. A lot of the money gets passed, you know, through the city of Farmington and then into the county that then filters all the way down to our senior centers to allow them the ability to purchase whatever those needs are, you know, from food to vehicles to fuel and just kind of on and on.
Right. And you mentioned the money coming through the city of Farmington, but it's really coming from the state originally, isn't it? And then the city is kind of the main, I guess, fiscal agent, if you will, dividing it among the five other centers in the county. Is that how it kind of works?
Yeah, that is correct. So the money, there has to be kind of one agency to receive that money through the Aging and Long-Term Services Department with the state of New Mexico. City of Farmington has taken on that huge role of being the go-between between our local centers and the state. And that money passes through the city of Farmington, who then divides it up and then sends it to our local cities and the county.
Right. Got you. And that seems like a great example, another example of how well the entities work together here in San Juan County to make things like this happen, to have this one lead to take on that responsibility, but then to make sure that the money gets divided to every nook and cranny, really, of the county to make sure all the seniors are cared for.
That is correct. You know, it's amazing how not only our cities work together, and we see that in law enforcement and fire, but our senior centers are the same way. They all work very, very well together. If one center is down for one reason or another, the other senior centers step up, help provide whatever meals they can, whether it be frozen meals or whatever support we can give to each other. You know, that we may borrow back and forth, however we can help each other. But obviously the cities work very well together, and our senior centers are the same page that they all work very well together also.
Good to hear. And Michelle Moran, I wanted to ask you too about some of that as well, because for many of your seniors that are coming for the meal service, I mean, that's a really important part of their day, and maybe an important part of their health is making sure they get one of these meals every day, and that your numbers, I guess, would kind of show that you serve a lot of meals over the year.
We do. We we were talking before the show, and I think, you know, I don't have an exact number, but I'm very comfortable saying we've served over 13,000 Meals on Wheels this year alone between the two county senior centers, and we're close to 10,000 congregate meals between the both centers as well.
And we're only half over. The year's only half over.
Our physical year ends in June.
So So this is the total year.
About 2 weeks.
I got you. Yeah. Okay.
And then we'll start on July 1st.
I got you.
A lot of these meals, though, they're these seniors-only meals. A lot of the seniors, they eat once a day, and it's the meal that we provide to them.
And that's hard to hear, I think, for some people, to think that there are seniors, members of our community, who only eat once a day.
It is.
And it's because maybe of their fixed incomes and things along that line and just can't get out more? Is that what you find, or what would you say?
They can't get out. A lot of our seniors are in poverty, and I don't think people realize how poor our seniors are. They're living on $800 a month for everything that they right. need. The need of senior services is tremendous in our communities. Our seniors are really poor. Our seniors are eating once a day, and it makes me feel good that San Juan County and the five senior centers serve them that one meal a day, because we do know that they're eating at least once a day.
Right. And so I guess at least that's better than not having a meal, right?
Exactly.
Or having to find another source for a meal or something like that. You mentioned that you do the meals Monday through Thursday, but on Thursdays then you provide additional meals for the weekends for these seniors. Is that kind of how that works, since they're not coming in on Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Correct. If the Meals on Wheels seniors, they are offered a Friday, Saturday, Sunday frozen meal, and our congregate people, the ones that do come into the senior centers, they are offered an extra meal to compensate them for that Friday. So if they want it, they take it. If they don't, they don't. Same with Meals on Wheels. Some of them are good. They don't want the weekend meals.
Sure.
The majority of them, probably 95% of them, take the weekend meals.
Got you. And we were talking, too, a little bit about budgets and costs and things along that line. Like everybody, food costs have gone up, and that's no different for you in your job, right? And so you try to keep those meals at a certain dollar amount, right, to keep your budget in line. Is that getting more challenging, I guess, as we see prices go up at the grocery store and elsewhere?
Definitely. The prices of food have skyrocketed in the last year, and it's really hard to serve the increased amount of seniors that we're all getting at all senior centers for under that margin that we want to stay under. So costs of food go up. We don't require our seniors to pay. So we ask them for a suggested donation of $3. And then, like, just say, for example, their son comes in with them, or a different family member or friend that's under 60, we do require them to pay $6 for that meal. Mm-hmm. But seniors do not have to pay. We do suggest a donation, but it is not required.
Sure. And I don't know anywhere you can go in San Juan County to get a meal for $6.
No.
Even $6. So no. That's still a pretty good deal.
It is.
And then in addition to that, we were talking, too, before we came on the air this morning about the food hub, which you've heard about here in San Juan County, which is another cooperative effort with local farmers and locally grown fruits and vegetables and things along that. And there's some opportunities to maybe bring in some of that food into your meal planning as well, and some dollars to help pay for it.
Correct. We just actually received a grant from the state of New Mexico. It's called New Mexico Grown. And it's about $6,000. It's a little under $6,000 that we got for both Kirtland and Blanco Senior Centers. And we're going to use the food hub for that. So we'll be using our local farmers, kind of getting our seniors, hey, this is what's out there. This is what you can purchase locally. Kind of incorporating everything together, mm-hmm. I would say. Bloomfield and Aztec also got the grant as well. So I believe they're going to use the food hub.
Wonderful.
Which is great.
Right. Well, and I hear from, you know, all the time about how, you know, it's certainly nothing against our grocery stores, but when you can buy locally produced food that maybe hasn't been in a truck for a week or 10 days, it's just maybe better or maybe lasts longer, and that can be helpful for recipes or whatever you're trying to do with it.
Right. A lot of our menus in the summertime, we use a lot of fresh produce. Seniors love it. So getting that grant's going to help us tremendously at our two centers with the fresh produce stuff. We get it once a week. This will be the first year that we've gotten it. So it'll be interesting to see how it works. And I'm hoping to get it from here on out.
Right. Well, congratulations on Thanks. Getting it and applying for it and finding out that it's available. That's great. Daniel Hill, let me come back to you a little bit about, we're talking about rising prices, and certainly anyone's tried to fill their gas tank is no stranger to those prices that are going up. You're sending out county vehicles that are delivering food all over the county, and we know how big our county is. And so talk to me a bit about that. These are county vehicles and county fuel, and so that's a little bit more of a managed, I guess, expense that you have.
Yeah, so every year, like every other department within the county, we have a budget for both of our senior centers to where we budget food costs. We budget for fuel, for personnel, in our salaries, maintenance costs within the senior centers. And so it's a pretty tough budget to manage. Michelle does a great job managing that budget, monitoring our costs, but still our bottom line is provide those services to our senior centers. You know, and not that there's a endless amount of funding for that, but we've been very fortunate that the county has been able to provide us that funding. You know, between the grants that Michelle's able to obtain, like the Food Hub grant,
sure,
the money that we get from the state, and then the money that the county provides us. You know, it's a fairly substantial budget, and we're able to manage very well within that and still deliver what I believe is a quality menu to our seniors each and every day. And it's great to see them. It's fun for me to go in to see Lower Valley or Blanco, and you see the seniors playing bingo. And, you know, it's just great to see people out having some enjoyment and friendship and fellowship with some seniors their own age.
Right, right. Very true. And the socialization, too, which may be the only opportunity that they have to maybe do some of these things.
Yeah, and so, I think that's a very important part of it. And Michelle probably talk a little bit more about that. But I think our seniors, you know, sit at home alone a lot. Maybe they only have radio or TV. And that interaction between each other, I think, is a great benefit socially, I think health-wise. Being able to get out and about is certainly great for all of us.
Very true. Michelle, let me bring you into the conversation about these activities and the socialization, and how important that is for these seniors who may be at home and their only trip out is to one of your centers.
Right. So during COVID, it was really sad to watch them. They were lonely. They were sad. They didn't know what to do, where to go. A lot of them have lost their husbands or their wives, so they live alone. So it's been really, really nice the last year. We've been reopened for about a year. It's been really nice to see them come back in the social aspect of it. It's amazing to watch. Bingo, they play pool, they exercise, the Senior Olympics. They actually did this year for the first time since COVID hit. So that was, it was nice. It's been nice to see them in the senior centers.
Right.
You know,
coming back out and socializing a bit more.
Right, right.
Right. And even though there are still concerns about COVID, COVID hasn't gone away, it's still out there, and I imagine there are still individuals that are cautious about gathering. Maybe they're still coming just through the drive-through and going back home and not maybe socializing as much, and that's still got to be difficult for folks that are so very concerned about maybe their health or maybe even someone who is immunocompromised or what have you in their family that they don't want to expose potentially.
Right. So we've been really fortunate that we haven't had huge outbreaks at the senior centers, but there's a lot of worry with COVID. We see the numbers kind of going up here recently, and so our seniors are kind of backing out, and I've seen a lot more come through our drive-through in the last 3 weeks. So I'm hoping they'll come in.
Sure.
We still take all the precautions. We still disinfect every single day. If we do have somebody with COVID in, the Parks and Facilities Department come in and they sanitize for us. We'll shut down. So we're trying our hardest to keep all of our seniors safe, our community safe, and our staff safe.
Right, right. But it's got to be a delicate balancing act, I suppose, to try to decide for programming standpoints, too, what types of gatherings folks are comfortable with, what kinds of things do they want to do, is bingo good, is something else not so good, a trip to Hatch maybe not this year, or whatever is going on, to try to provide some of these things in a safe way for the seniors that do want to take part in them.
Right. The seniors are, they're going to go if they want to go, and if they don't, they're just going to say, no, I'll come again. But the ones that do want to go, I think we need to provide that service for them. Because they're ready. They're okay with COVID now. They want their stuff back. They want their life back to normal.
Right, right. Very good. I asked you before we came on the air this morning what's on your wish list, and you said money, which is probably on everybody's wish list these days, but I understand. But really to help pay for some of these things that you'd like to do, whether it's food or activities or what have you, or what would you say?
I would say a lot of activities. Our seniors, I know, you know, $5 to a lot of people is minimum. To our seniors, that could be a big deal. So we've had different people come in and say, hey, I want to sponsor this trip to the summer theater. Commissioner Beck said a few years back, he actually did. He came in and he said, hey, I want to pay for the seniors to go to, I think it was the Elvis summer theater.
Okay, right.
So we loaded up a group of seniors and we took them out there and they didn't have to worry about it. Everything was covered for them. It's little things like that that our seniors appreciate so much. They're so blessed to have.
Right. And again, I think, and you're right, and you told us that earlier, that a lot of these seniors are living in poverty, below poverty. I mean, they really are just struggling and really on that fixed income and having to pay for everything from that maybe Social Security check or pension check from a spouse who's deceased or whatever the case may be. I know there's a lot of scenarios out there, but these folks are really trying to make it work with the little dollars that they have.
Right. They're trying to survive. And on top of, you know, doing paying what they have to pay, they want to do some extra things, but sometimes they just can't. They just can't afford it.
Right, right. Very good. Daniel Hill, in addition to the senior centers, I think we were talking too about some transportation opportunities for doctor's appointments and things like that. That's also something that that your department provides for county seniors?
Yes, it is. So the transportation is kind of all-encompassing, whether it's for doctor's visits or to the trips to wherever it may be. So that's all provided. All of our vehicles pretty much are grant funded by the state of New Mexico. So it's great that it doesn't really, not all of our costs come out of the county budget. We're able to apply for grants for capital items, renovations within our senior centers, for all the vehicles we use. So all that money we're able to apply for, and been very lucky to get grants from the state of New Mexico to pay for that. So it just helps our general budget within the county. One of the things I think we should point out that maybe we haven't is that our senior centers were very instrumental in getting the vaccination to our seniors.
Good point.
We had a couple of drive-through clinics early on in COVID, once a vaccine was available. And the Department of Health came out, helped support that along with some other individuals to get our seniors those vaccinations. Otherwise, I'm not sure how all of that would have happened in such an efficient manner. So that was held at both of our senior centers, both first and second shot. And I think it was a great opportunity. So it shows not only our senior centers aren't just there for meals, for a little bit of entertainment, a little activity, but we're also there to support our community and however else we can.
Some public health measures as well.
That is for sure.
You're talking about as we move forward. And so we just have a couple of minutes remaining this morning, both of you. And so any final thoughts? I'm glad you mentioned the COVID vaccinations. I think that's a really important thing. Again, you know, optional for folks who wanted to do that, but they had a one-stop shop to be able to go in and get it done and taken care of if they chose to do so.
Yeah, I think it was important for the seniors to have a place that they're used to going.
Right, not
a strange. To go and stand in line at maybe one of the large grocery stores or another place, or to a healthcare provider that they're not used to. I think a lot of it was just a lot of that familiarity of coming back to where they hadn't been for a while. Although they weren't able to get out of their vehicles, they were able to at least get out and kind of
drive through. Right.
Yeah.
During the peak of COVID.
It was a drive through.
Yeah. Very, very good. Michelle, any final thoughts from you as to how things are going? You're hoping to offer maybe more activities as things allow, and still, of course, all those meals that you send out almost each and every day.
Yes. So I would welcome seniors to give me a call, 505-598-0054. Let's get you signed up. Let's get you on a program. If you live Farmington, Aztec, Bloomfield, give me a call and I'll give you their phone numbers and you can call and get on their programs. But let's get our seniors fed. Let's get you in the senior centers, get you active. I think we
can
handle
it.
More.
You can handle more? Good.
Yeah, for sure.
I bet you can. And that's great. And again, any senior over 60 in San Juan County is eligible for services from a senior center, whether you're on the reservation or off the reservation in one of the three cities or in the county. This is what we're talking about, right?
Correct.
Those services are available.
Yes, sir.
To these seniors.
Yes.
So good to know. Very good. Well, thank you both for coming in this morning and the work that you all do, you know, for our seniors and others in San Juan County. Appreciate it very much.
All right.
Thanks
again for having us.
You bet. Thank you very, very much. My guest this morning from San Juan County with me here on KSJE. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, bringing a full slate of entertainment to Farmington and San Juan County. A free concert with Farmington's Chevelle Shepherd, Saturday, July 2nd at 7:30 p.m. The Farmington Civic Center, 200 West Arrington in downtown Farmington. Find out more online at fmtn.org/shows or at 505-599-1148. KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week.
Hello again, this is M&G bringing week two for coaching tips for the radio. For week two, we got time management. Within time management, We can create a study plan at the beginning of the semester based on your course syllabus. Ideally, you should study a little bit every day throughout the week. Even just 20 minutes a day can make a huge difference, so you don't wind up cramming and stressing out right before the big exam. Don't forget to look for the big picture. Review your syllabus for each class and set due dates on the calendar for tests and big assignments. This assures you have plenty of time to study for tests or complete those larger assignments.
The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.